It means unmerited favor.
You say it, stand up. Ooh, I got the easy preach for me today. You have your seat, have your seat. Praise the Lord. You know, the other day, I think God allows me to see things for a reason at times. And I was downstairs in the bathroom in our house, and you know, we were doing the bathroom. And there's this little, it was like a little gnat, and I had seen it in there the day before. And I don't know if the flies or whatnot, they got so many eyes they can never seem to find their way out. Once they get stuck in a house, they either got one way out. That's normal with a fly swatter. But I'm sitting and I noticed this same, I noticed this same fly there 2 days in a row, and I have pity on it. Because I can only imagine this little fly bumping in the wall, bumping in the glass, 20, 30,000 times in that time frame, because that's all they do. They're just trying to find their way out. They're helpless. They're trying to find their way out of this situation. They just want to be free. The fly just wants to be free. It wants to do what it does, and then it wants to be free. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not a big bug killer. I let them live because I figured they got a little family too. So I went to proceed to rescue this fly, and I tried for a good 10 minutes to catch this fly with a cup so I could stick a piece of paper down and take that fly on out the door. But I gave up because I kept trying to get it. This fly kept flying away. He didn't know that help was trying to come. He was just scared. And that fly, I don't know where he is today. He's probably still down there trying to get out. But what I'm trying to tell you this morning is there are people that are blind that cannot see the way out. There are people like that fly going through life, bumping into walls, bumping into glass, looking for hope, looking for a way out. And guess who is there to rescue them? That's the church. We are sent to a blind world. We are sent to people that cannot see. We have been given a call and a responsibility to help those that cannot help themselves out, to reach out our hand to our fellow brother that might not know the way of truth as we know it.
Amen.
This morning I'm going to preach a message entitled, Have You Told Anyone Lately? Have you told anyone lately? Have you told anyone lately? Go preach and believe. Go preach and believe. You know, so many times we hear from my dad, he preaches, okay? One of the best teachers around. And they always say, what was the gospel that Paul preached? What was the gospel that Paul preached? What did Paul preach? This morning, I'm just going to give you a dose real quick of what Jesus preached. Before he left, before he was ascended up to heaven, he made this statement in both Mark and also in Matthew. And for the sake of time, I want us to look real quickly at what the Lord's final words were to the church. And when God speaks the word himself, he means it. Amen.
Amen.
When God chooses fit not to use an interpreter or a prophet or a pastor or a teacher, but when God has his son say something, let me tell you, he means it, because Jesus only said what he was told to say. He said, I don't speak of myself, but I speak of the one who sent me. So when you hear from Jesus, you hear from God, because he came to proclaim a specific message to the church. And since we're all saved in here, this message is for everybody in here. And if you're not saved, it's still for you all the same. And the word of God reads in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen.
Amen.
This is the gospel that Jesus preached. You preach, they'll believe. You preach, they'll believe. And if some don't believe, they'll be damned. But you preach anyway. You preach regardless of the outcome. You just do what I tell you to do, and those that God has appointed at that time to be saved, they're going to be saved. What I'm telling you to do is don't debate. Don't try to come to an agreement. I'm telling you to preach something. I want you to preach about what I preach. Preach about God and the kingdom of heaven. Tell people that they need to repent. Tell people that they need to give their lives to Jesus. You start preaching, and guess what? The fruit will follow.
Amen.
The fruit will follow. Too many times, church, we sit back and try to rationalize. Well, if I do such and such thing, and if I behave such and such a way, they might just get saved. Well, let me tell you something. Stop what you're doing and start proclaiming. Jesus didn't tell us to necessarily lead with an example our whole life before we tell somebody about the Lord.
Amen.
But no matter what time and what hour you might be in, preach the word. Preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. The only thing that changed your life was the preached word. The only thing that's going to change your neighbor's life is the preached word. The only thing that's going to make a dead man alive is the preached word of God.
Amen.
He doesn't say go and sit. He says get up and get out.
Amen.
Don't wait for the preacher on the television. Don't tell people to turn to channel 6. He says, go ye therefore. Open up your mouth because you know how to do it.
Amen.
The church knows how to talk.
Amen.
About this and about that and about politics and about religion and about doctrine. Preach Jesus.
Amen.
When's the last time you just told someone they needed to be saved? Or were you too worried about their feelings being hurt? Or they might not like you anymore? Or they might not call you to their party or invite you out to their social gathering because they're afraid that you might preach to them too.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say to the 12 apostles, the 11 that were there, before you go preach. He didn't say to them, before you go preach, make sure that you're perfect. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't say, before you go preach, make sure that you're 100% pure. He didn't say, before you go preach, make sure that your house is in order. And there's a reason why. Have you noticed that when you start telling somebody about Jesus, you start telling yourself about Jesus, and when you start talking to people about Jesus, the Holy Ghost starts to change things in your life. He starts to clean up those things that weren't supposed to be there, because when you're witnessing to them, the Holy Ghost is witnessing to you. It's a twofold. You preach, God will deliver you. You preach, God will deliver you. You know, you don't have to know too much, but I know this, when you're in God's Word, when you're preaching God's Word, you ain't out there sinning.
Amen.
Keep your hands full busy with the Lord. Keep your hands busy with the Word. Because I only know this, the devil's busy when you're not preaching.
Amen.
When you're not serving God, that's when the devil's all over you. Because he sees, hey, he's put down his shield. He's put down his sword. He stopped preaching. Let me come on in. So the Word of God says, just go and preach.
Amen.
Just go and preach. Go and preach. Go and preach. Let people know about what I've taught. Let people know about what I'm going to do. Let people know that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't think that your advice is great. Just preach the word. Tell if they have need of something to ask in my name and it shall be given.
Amen.
Amen.
Preach the word. Oh, I got a friend. They're addicted to drugs. Well, you know, someone that's addicted to drugs is sick, right?
Amen.
So I just read a second ago that they shall take up servants, and they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Preach the word. I'm sick of 12-step programs. I'm sick of self-help books. I'm sick of this way and this way to salvation. There is but one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me but by the Father, and I've got good news. If you're sick, I'm the cure. You don't need anything else but to believe.
Amen.
Cut out all this nonsense. Cut out all this bullshit. Get back to the gospel Jesus preached. You preach and I'll do the work in them. You see, he didn't send his disciples out without the Holy Ghost with power. The word of God reads in verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following.
Amen.
Let's get back to what Jesus preached.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You don't have to be a theologian to understand this thing. You don't have to be the most well-spoken person to understand this thing. All you have to have is an ear to hear and a mouth to proclaim.
Amen.
An ear to hear and a mouth to proclaim. You don't need no 6 degrees because knowledge puffeth up. Don't you know the most carnal Christians are the ones that know so much? They'd be the most carnal ones. Because to whom much is delivered, much is required.
Amen.
You think you know something about Jesus? And you think that if you know something about Jesus, you're going to be boasting in it, boasting in your knowledge? No man knows how he thinks he should know.
Amen.
Let's preach the word.
Amen.
Have you told anyone lately? That word go, it means to pursue the journey. It means to pursue the journey on which one has entered. It means that when you accepted Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you said, Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to submit myself unto you. And whatever your will is, God, let it be my will. And the Lord tells us to go. He tells us to pursue. He tells us to do what we have been made to do. How many of y'all have a car that you just let be a car? How many of y'all have a TV in your house that you don't never turn on? How many of y'all have things that you don't never use? The church has been created to go. The church has been created to speak and to proclaim and to tell people the good news that Jesus Christ has come. To pursue on a journey in which one has entered and to continue on the journey until the Lord says stop. Until the Lord says stop preaching, come on home, when the trump of God sounds, we are to always be about this, the going and preaching and telling people. The Word of God says that believe means to think to be true. When we preach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will work. And He'll convict a person in their heart and in their life to cause them to have a mental idea, to understand that what is being proclaimed is the gospel truth. When someone first told you about the gospel, the Holy Spirit bears witness to your heart to let you know that it was true. And this is how the process begins. But the reason I believe that the Lord has put this on my heart this morning is because there's a different type of gospel that's being preached.
Amen.
There's a gospel that is being preached that is not the gospel of Jesus. You see, Jesus said, these signs shall follow. It's a definite fact. There's nothing to change this. When you start preaching and when you start proclaiming, these signs will follow. Miracles are the result of the preached word. Right?
Amen.
Miracles are a direct result of the preached word. When you preach, when Jesus preached, there were multitudes healed. There were miracles, people being fed, blinded eyes being opened, lepers being made whole because of the preached word. But in this day society, miracles have pretty much stopped. When's the last time you heard a great work of God? I heard one myself not too long ago. But miracles as a whole have diminished greatly, and for this reason. When you stop preaching Jesus, the power is in Jesus. And you stop proclaiming God's word, what miracles can come out? The gospel does not say this. The scripture does not say this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall accomplish nothing. They shall pray and their prayers will not be heard. They shall keep laying hands on the sick just to do it. The scripture does not say, and these signs shall follow them. In my name they will say, no need for Bible study. In my name they will say, no need for prayer. In my name they will make great excuse. The scripture does not say that. The scripture does not say that. But yet that is what is happening as a whole in the Christian nation and the whole of the Christian body, as people have forsaken the way of God and have gone a total another way, and therefore to the end is destruction.
Yep.
When you stop preaching, when you stop witnessing, When you stop teaching, you cut yourself off from life.
Amen.
How could the children make it without food? How many of y'all can go 4 days without a double cheeseburger from McDonald's with a large fry and a milkshake? How many of y'all can go without natural food for a week? How many? How many can go without natural food for a year? When's the last time you've been to church to get spiritually fed? When's the last time you had a mountaintop revival so that your spirit could be nourished? When you have a desire in a church that is no longer to seek the will and to seek the purpose and to seek God's way, they cut their spiritual food off. And before you know it, all that's left is an appearance of righteousness. All that's left is an appearance of godliness. But when you deny the power of, you are spiritually faint and weak. Amen? The scripture doesn't say the things I mentioned before, but the scripture does say that these signs shall follow them which believe. When you look in verse 15, it says, go ye into all the world and preach unto every creature. It means to proclaim as a herald, as a town crier, as the one that's been given the responsibility of the watchman, that when the enemy comes, you say, the enemy is coming! Watch out! We have been given this commission to proclaim the gospel. But I ask you this. Have you told anyone lately? Have you told anyone lately? When's the last time that you just for a second looked at people, not in the external, but looked through the spiritual eyes and seeing whether they're know Christ or don't know Christ? See, appearances on the external can do a lot of things. They can deceive people. A lot of us think that everybody's saved, right? A lot of people, if they don't cuss, curse, you might assume that they're saved. Just because externally they might not be as flagrant as some, but because we never ask. You can tell. It doesn't take much of a conversation. But Christians ought to be the greatest communicators in the world. You know why? There's a reason why you speak with new tongues. There's a reason why you speak with new tongues. God wants you to preach to every creature, and there are a lot of different languages. There's a reason for the gift. Last week, or last time I ministered, I preached on the old creation and the new creation, the old Adam. And I wanted to make a concern. I asked you, what was all of Adam's kind made? All that was in Adam made up mankind. And all that's in Christ makes up God kind. When you look at these things that Jesus breaks down as the miracles, natural man could not do these things. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them which believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. None of those things can be done by natural man. But when God has imparted into you Zoe, in the Greek, which means God's life, when you have God's life in your being, godly things ought to happen. We have got a supernatural calling. God has not only given the church the ability through Christ to overcome all things, but he's given you the ability to believe it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So many times we read these things, and we're like, oh, yeah, that's nice. What do you think about when you read these scriptures? What comes to your mind? Does an excuse come to mind first? When we read the Word of God, so many times we read, and these signs will follow. What was your initial thought when you read that this morning? Did you think of 20 reasons why it doesn't happen? Seriously, anybody want to say what they thought when they read those scriptures this morning? What's the first thing that came to your mind?
After I read it, I thought that after you preached to people that you would be blessing, not right now, but later on.
All right, anybody else? When you read those scriptures, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Gentlemen, put you on the spot. When you read the Word of God that He is not giving you a spirit of fear but of a sound mind, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What's the first thing?
That the fear is not from Him.
See, the Word of God is given to correct misunderstandings. The Word of God is given to clear up any doubt. The Word of God is given to make us understand, hey, if He says it, all I got to do is believe it.
Amen.
If He says it, all I have to do is believe it. But for so long, there has been another gospel preached. A gospel that says, you don't need to trust in the Lord. Just use the abilities that God has given you and make the best of it. That's not correct, amen.
Amen.
The true fruit of belief is listed. There are so many lists in the Bible in the New Testament that relate to the new man, that relate to the things that a godly person, their character, that we need to go back to the Word of God and see if what it says is where we are. Because the Word of God is correction. Sometimes you might be afraid to witness to somebody at your job. Why? How many are afraid to witness to somebody? Just raise your hand, be honest. Why?
Because like you said, afraid of what they might think, what they might say.
Oh, your hand wasn't up? Distraction?
Well, you're ready to say, your hand is up.
Why else might someone be afraid to witness? Why else?
Afraid they don't know enough words to witness somebody. They don't know enough scripture to witness. Lead somebody to salvation.
Some people don't witness because that person might know you. And you might think that if you witness to them, that you might actually have to act like a Christian. Some people don't witness because they don't know the Word. Some don't witness because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But here's what we have to take our minds to. When we don't have the power to proclaim, we just need to remember one thing. He that is in us will proclaim through us. All we have to do is you. All we have to do is open up our mouth and the Holy Spirit will speak and let out. And also this, when you realize the condition that a person will be in if they leave this world without Christ, let that reality motivate you to proclaim the Word of God.
Amen.
There is a decline in the church. There's a reason why all these other religions are popping up in vast numbers. And that's because the church has forgotten to proclaim. Our confidence needs to be restored in Christ. Amen. He is still the same today that He was yesterday and shall evermore shall be. We simply need to remember that this book was not written as a fable. It wasn't written as a fairy tale. This is a history book of what has happened. Go to the library. Look up the Azusa Street Revival. Go back a little bit further. All these crusades and things that the church came into, they had a root somewhere. And that root was way back on Calvary's Hill when the gospel was come to life.
Amen.
This is not a playbook or a fairy tale. And if what is in here contains the words of life, that life should be transparent through us. Amen?
Amen.
When is the last time we told somebody? Sometimes we think that if we witness to one person, we've met our quota. Oh, I'm a good Christian. I witnessed last week. Praise the Lord. Brother, sister, we had a great time in the Lord, and man, I think she just might come to church. In that witnessing period, did you tell her the gospel? Mm-hmm. See, let me tell you what is not effective witnessing and what is. Effective witnessing versus non-effective witnessing. Just telling somebody that it's all in Jesus or praise the Lord in your conversation is not effective witnessing. Unless a person realizes that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is that Savior. That's what the gospel components are. To first have a person recognize through God's word that they're lost. Secondly, to recognize that Jesus is the Savior. And then thirdly, we are to present them with the opportunity to accept. We must show the reason for their need, the Savior, and give them an opportunity. So many times we just bring about Jesus to the conversation. Oh, the Lord will work it out. If that person don't know Jesus, what does that mean to them? Just talking about Jesus doesn't mean anything to someone that is not saved. They don't understand they're spiritually dead. They don't understand that when you tell them that, oh, through Jesus, they can have life and more abundantly. Tell them why. How is it possible that through Jesus, I can have life and have life more abundantly? It's because he will make all things new. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You simply have to have a heart that is willing, amen? You simply have to have a heart that is willing. And you'll notice this when you begin to proclaim and preach the gospel, that the one person you're talking to isn't going to be the only one that you're going to be talking to. The gospel has this magnetic attraction. Have you ever noticed it, Tanya? When you start telling somebody about Jesus, that one person you might be telling, but other people have ears, and they might just come closer and closer. And before you know it, you're telling them too. And before you know it, the crowd gets bigger. And sometimes it might get out of control, but the Holy Ghost knows how to have his way. Jesus has that magnetic personality that if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto me. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So all we have been told to do is just go and preach. Go and preach. It's not our job to get people to believe. It's not our job to get people to come to church. It's our job to get people to Jesus. Amen. We bring him the fish, and he'll clean them up.
Amen.
You hear that, church? We simply bring him in, and he'll clean them up.
Amen.
That's what he can do. He's told me to fish. He ain't told me to cook. Have you told anyone lately? Have you told anyone lately? If you're sick this morning, the gospel has arrived. If you need healing this morning, the gospel has arrived. If you need a fire to be put underneath your butt once more so that you can get up and go, the gospel has arrived. There's no reason for us to feel like we are defeated. There's no reason for us to not see the need for salvation. Amen? So how many of us right now want to go outside and start knocking on doors? Any of y'all got any objections? Let's go. Any objections? Let's go. We've been taught. How many years have you been up in the church? You need another revelation? Do you understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? If you can't go, want to go? Let's go tell somebody. There's a village over here. They don't know Jesus. They can't even speak your language. But the Holy Ghost knows how to talk to them.
Yes, sir.
Do we need to wear a whole bunch of robes and a whole bunch of hats to witness our faith? Do we need to wear a certain type of clothes to witness our faith? I don't think so. If you got a mouth, you can proclaim. So let's go. You see, Jesus has spent 3.5 years preparing his church, teaching him everything pertaining to life and godliness, and at the end he said, let's go. I've been doing all the work all this time. I don't want to get hurt. You better crucify me. It's your turn. Let's go. It's time to tell somebody, because sitting in the church ain't going to fill up the church, amen? Sitting in the church ain't going to make a difference in the church. What has to happen, the church has got to go. It's not come to, it's go there.
Amen.
Go to the bar. Go to the highway, to the byway. Go to them that are homeless. Go to them that don't have no sense. Go to them that might have had a hangover. Because I know that in this one moment, God can cure the hangover by the cross.
Amen.
Let's go. Don't be scared. People get scared when the police knock at the door. They ain't going to be scared when Jesus comes and makes them all new. So let's go.
Amen.
Too much talking. Let's go. Too much sitting down. Let's go. What is the consequence of you not preaching the gospel?
Yeah. People go to hell.
What's the consequence of you not preaching the gospel?
People die.
You know the consequences, don't we? When the gospel's not being preached, miracles cease.
Spiritual death
reigns. So let's go. Y'all ready? Let's go. What, do we need an altar call for saved folks? Need an altar call for saved folks? Can't get y'all here on Saturday to pass out flyers, so let's go.
That's right. Let's go.
Let's go.